Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. North Coast Conversation is dedicated to events and issues affecting Lorain County. On today's show, we're kicking off the Harvest for Hunger campaign with Susan Bartosh from Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio. And the month of March is Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. We'll talk with Joellen Podal from Connecting for Kids about their resource fair coming up at Lorain County Community College. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. Now, this week's North Coast Conversation. Joining us today is Susan Bartosh, the Director of External Affairs at Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio. It's the time of the year where you start seeing the Harvest for Hunger campaign at your local grocery stores, as well as just a reminder about food insecurity, hunger awareness. And Susan, we thank you for joining us this morning. So let's talk, I guess, a little bit about, before we get into the Second Harvest or the Harvest for Hunger campaign, a little more about Second Harvest. That's North Central Ohio. So how many counties are we talking about here?
Well, hi, Bruce. Thanks for having us on again this year. But so Second Harvest is the regional food bank in our area for and one of the 12 regional food banks that cover the state of Ohio. And we cover Lorain, Erie, Huron, and Crawford counties. And we're all part of the bigger umbrella of Feeding America.
And, of course, this is a ongoing service that you provide. I was just looking on your Facebook page and saw that you had many of the mobile food pantries for the month of February, even in a winter month. Weather's been nice for the folks that have been out there, no doubt, but it just shows that the need is there, and I assume the calendar gets filled up every month with different locations you have for that.
Well, this has been going on since even before the pandemic. We are in partnership with many of the schools, particularly in Lorain County, and it's a really great service for the communities in and around some of the school areas. So we've been doing this every month, and it's a scheduled thing throughout our whole entire region, and it's a really great way for those people that are in need to be able to access foods that may help them.
Right, and all sorts of food, shelf-stable foods, they call them. Those are the ones mm-hmm. in the boxes and the cans and things like that, but as well as produce, which is really a key to provide for people who need something.
And that's all year long. We have a very big commitment to healthy foods as best as we can, and so we work even with local growers and Ohio growers and farmers to make sure that there are not only shelf-stable items, as you mentioned, but protein items as we can, even from Ohio growers, as well as produce
right
all year.
Well, we talk about Ohio growers, you know, that's the you work hand in hand with the harvest in there for the farmers in the area, the best way to provide what they grow that can go to somebody in need for that, for sure.
And they're heavily into this partnership with us as well as the other regional food banks to make sure that certainly they are in business to fulfill their contracts with grocery stores and other groups, but they do work with us with their surplus, and it's actually a wonderful partnership that we're able to help and serve our community by making sure we're there to accept those items.
You recently had a kickoff campaign for Harvest for Hunger. Tell me a little bit about that, how that went, and the new honorary chair that you have this year, too.
Well, it was great. It was last week, last Thursday. The campaign is starting this weekend, but Cindy Anders from the Community Foundation is our honorary chair this year. And we're trying to just make sure we get the word out to everybody about the need. And in the past, we were able to use this time to kind of regroup from the Christmas holidays and start building up food and funds so that we can, in the summertime, restock the shelves. Well, we don't have that luxury of time anymore just because of what's going on out there and the fact that as we're raising food and funds right now for Harvest for Hunger, we're literally getting those to all of our partner charities, which number now throughout our whole entire region about 130 partner charities that will need to have their shelves restocked to be able to help.
Sometimes people maybe not think about that. They have a local food pantry or a church or an organization. You are sometimes behind most of them, or at least helping them have those shelves be full.
Right. That is that historically, because we've been doing this for 40 years, and it has been for so much of that time almost exclusively our network of partners. So we were always the middleman. We would do the fundraising, we would get the food, and we would supply food and funds to our network. And they would be doing food pantries, shelters, hot meal programs, or whatever. And they are still there. They're still doing that. But then we also are now doing direct distribution ourselves with our own staff and volunteers, too. So we're kind of in that mix just because the need is so great. But we couldn't do it alone without these partners. And they have so many other things. Many of them are not, they are all not-for-profits. And they have a lot of things to worry about, too, in terms of getting their own volunteers. And many of them are just all volunteers running these soup kitchens and hot meal programs and things like that. So for us to be able to provide them with the food that they need to be able to serve their local community is great.
And I'm sure some of those also maybe they combine in maybe some sort of clothing type of assistance or just other type of things that go on. So there's a whole package that sometimes on those individual levels, but you kind of focus on the food, providing the meals and that sort of thing. Harvest for Hunger campaign going on now. You'll see it at the different grocery stores where you'll be asked to donate a certain portion of money. Can you give us the equation about how dollars that I donate get translate into food or meals, if you would?
Sure. For every $1 that's donated to Second Harvest, through Harvest for Hunger, we can provide 7 meals. And as well as if there's also a food component. So if somebody wants to run a food campaign and they drop it off at Second Harvest, 1.2 pounds of food is one meal. So everything's either poundage or in dollars. And we as being part of this network that I was explaining that we're part of, a network through Feeding America and certainly through our partners through Ohio, it's a collective power as well as then also through our group of volunteers because they help us with a lot of the work that we do. That's why we are able to take $1 and provide 7 meals. So it's very efficient. Your dollar goes a long way.
People say that a lot of times with Second Harvest, how that they know that the money goes well and it works well, and they can sort of see the results of that. SecondHarvestFoodBank.org, you can find out more details. Again, Harvest for Hunger campaign going on now. We're talking today with Susan Bartosh from Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio. How's the volunteer staffing going? I know there was an ebb and a flow, especially during the pandemic, where there was people that were not allowed to help out. But how are things going? I see with these different types of food drives and distribution. There's obviously a lot of people wearing those vests, those bright-colored vests, so you know there's a lot of volunteers helping you out.
Right. Well, like I mentioned, that we're now also in the last, since really the beginning of the pandemic, we are doing direct distribution ourselves, and we continue to do that, we need volunteers in our building to pack boxes, to sort through food, to do all of those kinds of things, which has been standard. That's been going on for the whole time we've been in existence. But then now we also have a component where we literally go out on a regular basis, 2-3 times a week to some place that's already scheduled. It's within our district. And we put on these distributions. So we also need volunteers for that and getting food prepped for that. So volunteering, it's pretty robust. It's a lot of fun. Lots of options. So it could be in our building. It could be out at a distribution. And we've got some really, really great volunteers, whether individually or, you know, through work groups come together and kind of do a team building thing. And they're able to help the community that way. So we rely on our volunteers. We appreciate them. We couldn't do all of this without them, and it really helps us get the work done. So anybody interested in volunteering, you just go to our website, and there's a whole section and even a way to sign up.
What's going on with Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio? You've been doing this for quite a number of years. Has people's impressions of Second Harvest towards you changed over time? Did they understand it more? I know that you now have those brightly colored trucks that are out there since you've had that new distribution center. It's a little more visible than it was, not so much in the background, it seems.
Yes, absolutely. Those things that you had mentioned, Bruce, definitely make a difference. But I'll tell you what really maybe allowed people to see kind of what we do is when it was the pandemic and all the cars lined up and we were the ones out there. So people saw firsthand what we could do. And so it's that kind of thing that we do, that we still do, as well as then work with, like I said, our network of partner charities all throughout. Like Lorain County alone, I think we have about 80 not-for-profits that are working in somehow food distribution, that they're our partners, and we give them their food, and they run their hot meal program or pantry or shelter or what have you. But still, then we're out there too. So I think really, since people have been able to see firsthand what we've done or all the different things that we can do, or they've volunteered or they've come in our building, they've seen. So yes, I think people are much more open. And then also at the same time, these numbers are kind of staggering in terms of what's going on out there. And many people, they themselves have been in a situation where all of a sudden, hospitality industry kind of came to a stop during COVID. So all of a sudden, people that were doing okay all of a sudden needed our services. And so whether they themselves or family member or friend or neighbor or somebody, they've found out about that accessed services or just saw what we did. Yeah.
Sometimes you think that maybe it's sort of the same pocket of people over and over again, that they're just there. But you have data also that determines there's a lot of new people that have been able to benefit from Second Harvest, too.
Absolutely. And we're all about the data, and we do need to keep that and certainly keep track of who's coming, where they're coming, demographics, regions, ages, and also where are the pockets that of people that are not served that maybe we can do something to get in and help them. And so in terms of data, we pre-pandemic we were serving just over 88,000 what we call unduplicated people, and now we're 40% that. And really since the beginning of this school year, the numbers are ticking up. And so last year we distributed about 12 million pounds of food, and we're right now at 26% higher distribution than we were at that time. So we're looking at more and more people accessing services.
Sometimes you get to the point where you think maybe we've got over the hill. In other words, we've got past the pandemic or something of that nature. Then you have inflation that hits. Yep. Where the money that someone has is now being spent in other ways. And sometimes food kind of suffers in a way, even though that seems to be what would be the primary thing that you would need.
Well, it's always a thing that you need to do every day, right? You can't just take a break for a week or two without food. But people are trying to manage their money, and there were all kinds of supports that were put into place, that, like SNAP benefits and things like that, that really did help people. But then when those benefits came to an end or were reduced, then we saw uptick again. And then, of course, you've got inflation and things like that. But people still need to pay their rent, repair their car, do those kinds of things, and utilities, everything. And they're going to do that. Those hard fixed assets and things are going to take care of that. And kind of like the slippery slope tends to be the food. Yes, we need that every day and all the time. But so many of us, even those of us that try to stick to a budget or whatever, it always kind of sometimes goes off the ledge. And then you just never know if there's even something that happens in a given month. Car repair, a medical bill, something happens. That's just the thing that squeezes them. So people may not be at any of our distributions every month, but generally in the gap, it's the food that they're looking for.
To be a part of that distribution, they need to contact you ahead of time and get information. How does that usually work? If you could just briefly take me through that process, if you could.
You're talking about for community members that are looking to attend.
Yes, sure.
Well, they can text. I mean, we have, people can text their registration. because they must register, or sometimes people have pre-registered and they're on the records, and so then they have to update their records when they come. But yeah, and if people don't pre-register, like our Thanksgiving registrations are always like pre-registration only, but these weekly, monthly distributions, they can register right as they're driving through, but they do have to go through registration first, and then they're able to go through the line.
To access and be mm-hmm. able to get the food that you've distributed. Mm-hmm. Again, secondharvestfoodbank.org. We're talking today with Susan Bartosh, Director of External Affairs of Second Harvest Food Bank of North Central Ohio. Right now, again, the Harvest for Hunger campaign is taking place, so you can help out any way, whether it's through the monetary donations, even volunteering is possible as well. You can check them out there for a lot of good information. Susan, we appreciate your time this morning, and thanks for sharing what's going on with Second Harvest today.
Thanks so much. Good seeing you again.
Today we're going to talk about Connecting for Kids, the Lorain County Resource Fair. The organization has a number of them throughout the Northeast Ohio area, but there's one coming up on Tuesday, March 12th from 6 to 8 over at Lorain County Community College's Spitzer Conference Center. And Joellen Podal joins us, Community Relations Manager for Connecting for Kids. Thank you for sharing some time with us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
Let's get, before we talk about the Resource Fair, kind of what the role of Connecting for Kids is, how it helps parents who have maybe concerns with their children.
Yeah, certainly. So Connecting for Kids, we're a local Northeast Ohio nonprofit. And what we do is we help families who have any concern about their child. Usually those concerns typically are academic, mental health, or disability related concerns. We help them find resources, support, and community through a number of different ways. And our resource fairs is just one of those ways.
Now, when you talk about parents' concern for their kids, this would be, I guess, at any age there might be a concern? Or is it just in the developmental years? Or?
Yeah. So typically speaking, Connecting for Kids, we really focus on the 12 and younger. So 0 to 12 is our normal focus. That being said, our resource fairs go up through 22. We realize that a lot of families who have older kids are still looking for that mental health, those mental health resources, academic resources, especially those disability resources. Because if you do have a child who has a disability, you know, you're thinking about transitioning. They're going to be adults at one point, and kind of you have those concerns over those transition moments of what's next for them.
So let's get a little bit of what's happening at the Resource Fair. Again, this is coming up on Tuesday, March 12th. And as I mentioned, you do a number of those throughout there. So you kind of have a good system in place of what's needed to be there and how to interact with the parents. What can we expect coming up at the college on the March 12th?
We do. We have three total throughout Northeast Ohio in the month of March. So for the one here in Lorain County, we have a variety of services from tutors, adapted camps, counselors, physical therapists, feeding specialists, just a wide variety, transitional services, housing services. And it's just a great event where people can come do a one-stop shop type event where they can spend half an hour to an hour and go around and talk to about we have 76 tables for this event this year. So they can go around and figure out which services are right for them. If they don't have that amount of time, we understand that, you know, people are busy, especially if you have kids. You're off in one direction or another with them. We do offer a grab-and-go option as well, where they get a little bag full of resources. There's at least one flyer from every vendor that we have there. Our sponsors are allowed to give a couple more. But it just is a nice bag and of information that mm-hmm. they can then go through at their leisure.
I would think, though, the personal contact you have with individuals from these other organizations, you can ask questions, you get a little more sense of how it is that they may be able to help you with what you have with issues with your children.
100%. I, as a parent of a child with a disability, I've went to the resource fairs that we have before I worked for Connecting for Kids. And I will tell you that in person, being able to have that conversation on whether or not a certain professional's services would be right for my child is invaluable. And then also to find out, what is your wait list? Is there a wait list? Can you see me right away? What's kind of that gist of it? It's just great to be able to sit there and talk through and nail some of those things out. You know, a lot of us, especially if we have a child with a disability, spend a lot of time on Google, right? We're looking up things online, but it's sometimes hard to find out, is this the right fit for my child? Where that resource fair is kind of that place where you can just stop and ask those questions right away, and you're not waiting for an email back or a phone call back or whatever.
And you're dealing with people that are have businesses, services within Northeast Ohio area, right? So it's local. It's not something that's out of state or you're just
correct.
Doing some sort of over the Zoom type of a communication.
100% correct. So for the Lorain County Resource Fair, most of the providers there have a Lorain County presence, or they're right on that border of Cuyahoga County where it's not too far of a drive for families. And they're all local resources and great professionals in a variety of areas.
Talking today with Joe Ellen Podal, the Connecting for Kids Lorain County Resource Fair is coming up on March 12th over at the Spitzer Conference Center of Lorain County Community College. Do they need to register or sign up, or how does that work? Or is it just sort of, I'll remember to come on that day and see what's there?
If they go to our website, connectingforkids.org, and then a /Lorain-County-Fair, they can pre-register. And by doing that, they're actually entered to win a $100 Amazon gift card. I know if other parents are like me, I probably spend a little too much on Amazon than I probably should. But it just gives that nice little incentive. It helps us to be prepared to know how many families. We also understand life happens. If you realize that day that something canceled and you can make it, show up. And we'll be happy to have you come in and get resources.
On a broader sense, though, Connecting for Kids, your website and your organization's there all throughout the year to maybe answer questions that are similar to ones they might find out at the fair then.
You're right. Our website's there all the time. Our phone number, email address are on our website, connectingforkids.org. And families can go on there. They can research things right on the website itself. We have a list of about 425 providers there that are local to Northeast Ohio. We also have all kinds of resource guides for different concerns, whether that's an attention issue, maybe it's picky eating, maybe it's the parents are going through a divorce and the kiddo's having a hard time, or it's school related. They can find those resources right there. One of the unique things that we offer too is something called an Ask Us, where families sign up for a 30-minute one-on-one with one of our family resource specialists, where they can tell the family resource specialist what's their concern, have a great conversation, and we can help point them in the right direction to help their child thrive. And the nice thing about it is everything we do, from the resource fairs to the Ask Us, is all free.
Okay. I noticed you brought in with you some little stuffed animals with buttons on them, and they're very colorful. Can you explain what those are about that you have there?
Certainly. So Wild Republic partnered with us this year to provide some developmental disability awareness ambassadors. So we have a black and white tiger along with a very colorful koala. And on their ears, they have a little button that says the future is inclusive. That is our theme for the year. We want to build a more inclusive future no matter what is going on with a person. And attached to it is a bookmark that talks about what is a developmental disability. I know personally, before I started this role and started researching a little bit more, I think of a disability, I think of a person in a wheelchair or a person with a physical disability. And a developmental disability is so much more than that. It can include things such as ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, intellectual disabilities, and more. So the bookmark talks more about that and how people can help make the world a more inclusive place.
Well, the month of March is designated Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. So it's just kind of a time to sort of focus on talking about more about that inclusivity. One of the things also going on, I guess there's new rules related to dyslexia screening in Ohio.
Yeah.
You could briefly touch on that.
Certainly. There's a new law in Ohio that states that all public schools must screen children for dyslexic tendencies, dyslexic concerns. This year, it's for kindergarten through third grade. After this year, it will be kindergartners will all get screened. They're trying to catch up a little, you know, on those little older kids this year. And what that does is it helps identify whether a child is at risk for dyslexia. And it helps them realize earlier that they might need a little bit more help. So one of the things that we're really highlighting at our fairs this year are those tutors and academic resources that could help a family give the child a little extra boost beyond what the school is giving.
New this year, you also have a sensory area that's part of this. Explain that to us, if you could.
Yeah. So a lot of families who come to our resource fairs, either the parents themselves kind of get a little overwhelmed, or they might bring a child with them that is overwhelmed as well. So we're going to have a room at the resource fair. It'll be off kind of to the side. There'll be a nice quiet space with some sensory type items in there, such as squishy balls and all different kinds of things that, you can just kind of go in there and take a minute, you know, breathe through. It's overwhelming. Our resource fairs, we have 76 tables this year. You know, we typically have about 300 people throughout the two-hour span coming through. So it's a lot. It can be a lot to take in, and especially if a family has a new diagnosis or just a concern that's a lot and no diagnosis yet, they might need that time for a break. So we will offer a space this year for that break.
That sounds good. Kind of just sort of practicing what you preach, in the sense of being able to allow for that and understanding, even in a fair like that where the good information is there, some things, as you say, can become overwhelming. Again, this is coming up on Tuesday, March 12th from 6 to 8 at Lorain County Community College's Spitzer Conference Center. You can always find out more at connectingforkids.org to get the details on that as well, but a lot of good information this morning from Joellen Podal. Thank you for joining us today and talking about Connecting for Kids.
Thank you for having me. And one last plug, make sure people stop by that Connecting for Kids table to pick up one of these cute little ambassadors.
I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. Thanks for listening to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL.